Today on Real Life Radio.
You'll never be happy enough with the things that the world offers. You cannot be happy. You were not designed to be pleased by the things of the world. That's why you go from one thing to the other. You're starving and you don't even know it. You're anemic and you can't even tell. You need him.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Faith on Fire, Part 3 begins in the book of Philippians chapter 2 with verses 14 through 18. The overall theme of Paul's letter to the Philippians is that Jesus Christ is Lord. Faith on fire is a faith that is poured out and overflowing in sacrifice and in service to Him. Paul's hope and confidence was fully centered on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And so it is and should be for all of us who believe. For it's by faith that we can trust in His Word and have the assurance of God's ability to do what He said He would do. And it's by faith that we can share these promises with others. The target of faith for the Christian is not faith itself. Our faith is in Christ. And faith on fire is totally surrendering our lives to Him. Today on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ, and we need to share Him with others. Paul shared his faith with the Philippians in love and as an offering toward their spiritual growth. He poured out his life joyfully, and they rejoiced with him because of his sacrifice. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
And this gigantic human, huge human being, a Marine, said, what's your name? And I said, Jack, no, what's your last name? Hibbs. Gibbs? No, Hibbs. What? It doesn't matter, it's Hibbs. And he goes, I mean, I thought I was in trouble. It's like, this is weird. He was a lieutenant. And he said, no, it does matter, and I'll tell you why. Listen, I don't even know who this guy is. 3,000 miles away. He said, your church is heavily involved at Camp Pendleton. Reaching the Marines and the Navy, isn't it? I said, yes, sir. Uh-huh. That's what I did. It's like, woo-hoo! Yeah! Wow! You know what? I feel like Paul this morning. No, I feel like Paul. Because you know what? When he says here regarding us having given our lives to Christ, Paul is saying to the Philippian believers, you guys have offered up sacrifice and service. I'm only a drink offering. That's taken out of the book of Numbers chapter 15. It first appears with Jacob, and Jacob made the first offering where he pours out, it would have been water or wine or blood. By the way, it happens in pagan religions as well. It's not the point. The point is that when you have a sacrifice that's laid out, listen, it's the sacrifice that gave its life. Are you with me? Listen, are you with me? It's the sacrifice on the altar that gave its life. It's the sacrifice that's important. Paul just comes along and says, I'm just a wee little drink offering. While the sacrifice is burning, when you pour the wine on the sacrifice, it's what I shared with you a couple weeks ago. It's like El Torito. When you're at El Torito and somebody walks by that had ordered the fajita plate. Do you remember that? You always know who in the room ordered the fajitas. Exactly, I can hear it over here. And what? There goes the offering. There goes the sacrifice. It's steaming and spitting and fuming. And the whole, listen, I ordered chicken tacos. But does the restaurant smell like chicken tacos?
No.
It smells like what? Fajitas. The sacrifice is being burned. And then comes along the priest and pours the wine on the sacrifice. And the smoke and the steam and the smell is amazing and it rises up and God says, I love it. And Paul says, I'm just a wee little poured out offering on the ministry life of the Philippian believers. And I thought about that, oh my gosh, I'm the luckiest lucky. Well, may the luck of the Lord be with me. There's no luck with God, right? So I say the luck of the Lord. I'm so blessed that I got to get in an airplane and get out of there and come back here to you. 3,000 miles away, a stranger was blessed by what you do to the Marines at Camp Pendleton. And I felt like a little wee little drink offering poured out on your amazing sacrifice and service. And Paul says, yes. Yes, because that's what we have in common as believers in Christ. We serve together. Listen, I know this is a big church, and that can be good or bad. Some of you, I know, you're hiding here. You had a bad experience somewhere. You bailed out of that place or ran away, or God told you to go, and you're hiding and healing, and that's fantastic. Some of you are here like, I'm still trying to figure this out. Okay, that's fine. Some of you are like, well, you know, been coming for a while, and okay, whatever. Here's the deal. There's nothing worse than boring Christianity. And I'm telling you right now, when we begin to pour ourselves out on the sacrifice collectively, all of us are being the offering, as it were, but then also we get to pour ourselves out onto what's happening. So in other words, if it excites you to maybe minister to the Marines at Camp Pendleton, then sign up. You want to feed the homeless, sign up. You want to join the prayer ministries, but please, sign up. You see what I'm saying? And things happen. God moves in your life. You see the word go into effect. You see God move. You look around today and there's all these things that we should be doing to have a meaningful life. Isn't it interesting that Paul says, you want meaningful life? Become a drink offering. Pour yourself out. It's the exact opposite of what the world says. The world says, no, grab all the gusto you can, right? Somebody's Corvette has this license plate thing. I saw it out there. It says, he who dies with the most toys wins. That's a nice car you have, but here's the deal. Your theology is really stupid. Your theology is not, it's not going to work. Listen, you will die, and your toys will have nothing to do with how... God is not going to say, dude, what an awesome car. That's so great. How many toys do you have? It's not going to matter. Look, you can be a Christian and own a Corvette. That's fantastic. That's great. As long as we get a ride in it, it'd be kind of good, right? No, I'm kidding. But here's the deal. Forget that. Forget that material thing. It's that the world is saying, do this and you'll be happy. Shoot this up and you'll be happy. Drink this. Have these many sex partners and you'll be happy. Have this much money and you'll be satisfied. Listen, you know what Jesus said about that? Mark chapter 8, verse 34. When he had called the people to himself, notice, the people, the multitudes, okay, and his disciples, he said to them, watch this, listen carefully. This is what I call negative church growth policy or application. Imagine this being printed up today on a church manual. This is how you build a church. Number one. Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Can you imagine? But whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's will save it. Wow. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Don't you love his honesty? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father and with the holy angels. No, Jesus has got it all wrong, you see. No, see, if we mail in a check for $5,000 to this corporation that has Harvard graduate church growth expert people. If we just give them $5,000, they're going to show us how to grow this church by 12% every year and how to add people and become a more populated church. If you just send them, it's never free, by the way. This is free, but you send these guys a check and they're going to tell you how to grow the church. And you know what? I would imagine, because we would not stoop to that carnality, I would imagine that they would say things like, do this or do that, or be like this. Come down to the level of the world, wallow in the mire and rescue them there and bring them up and be just like them, do exactly what they do, and then trick them. When they think you're just like them, then tell them, I'm a Christian. And... No, you know what? They'll just hate you for it. They can't trust you. You know what? Jesus listened. You say, well, didn't Jesus stoop down? And yeah, he stooped down and picked people up from adultery. He stooped down and picked people up out of depression and out of sin and out of, are you with me? He didn't get down there and wallow in it. He showed them a better way and he picked them up out of it. And these words that Jesus says, listen, because we've encountered Christ, we need to give the world Christ. Amen. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world? You'll never be happy enough with the things that the world offers. You cannot be happy. You are not designed to be pleased by the things of the world. That's why you go from one thing to the other. You're starving and you don't even know it. You're anemic and you can't even tell. You need him. Well, Pastor, you clearly don't know just how rich I am. No, listen. Come with me. Come with me to the hospital. When the person's got all the money to do whatever they want to do, but they can't do it anymore, friend. You know what? They're laying in bed. They're dying. They can't write a check. Somebody the other day showed me their black card. Have you seen this? The black card. I didn't even know it existed. And they said, isn't that cool? You didn't even know. You know, there's the gold card, and there's the platinum card. There's the green card, and there's the blue card. Did you know there's a black card? I go, so what's with this card? Whatever you want. So what do you mean? I can do anything. Buy a house, I can buy a plane, I can do whatever I want. I can go around the world with this card. Listen, can you imagine? You're dying. Doctor comes in, you're dying. Doctor. Doctor, what you don't know is I have a black card. Listen, God bless you. Go make all the money in the world that you can make. Just go make it work for the kingdom. Listen, acquire knowledge. Listen, I think Christians should be the smartest people in class. And I believe that. I believe I have biblical and historical evidence for that. I'll give you one guy's name. One guy's name. Brilliant Christian, loved God, wrote commentaries on the Bible. Have you ever heard of a guy by the name of Sir Isaac Newton? Okay? You ought to be the best. But that is not going to save you. Because Christ transformed the people of Philippi, and Christ has transformed you, your faith ought to be on fire. There's no reason why. It shouldn't be burning bright. We should be out of control burning for Jesus. It's an amazing thing. And so the second thing we see on this is, verse 17 continues, he says, I'm glad. It's this, that we've given our lives to one another. It's not only to Christ, that comes first, Jesus first, but then to one another. Verse 17 goes on, he says, I'm glad. You ought to circle the word glad and the circle with the word rejoice. Very interesting words. We read it in English, I am glad and rejoice. The original language sounds quite comical in a way. It's I'm joyful and I rejoy. Say, well, what? I rejoy. I'm joyful, watch, regarding this prospect, possibility that I, Paul, will die at the hands of the Roman Empire and I will be guilty of being a Christian. I have been convicted by the Roman Empire for preaching Christ. What a way to go, huh? If I die, I'm going to be glad. I'm going to have joy, and it's full to overflowing, and the thought of it makes me rejoy. More joy. Say, okay, this guy, what kind of an animal is this guy? No, listen, ladies and gentlemen, he came to know what you and I need to learn, that our lives, we are not to count our lives dear to ourselves. Because this is only for a moment. This life, it's hard for us to, because we have it comfortable yet still for a moment. It's hard for us to fathom, especially if you're here today and you're young and you're healthy. It's like, who cares? You will care. And when that time comes, what are you going to lean on? A transformed life. And so Paul is announcing, I have joy overflowing and I just rejoy. It never ends over this prospect of being poured out as a drink offering for you and your sacrifice. And notice that he says, with you all. He's talking about a church that is free. He's in prison. The vitality of the church is well known. Paul cannot leave the walls of the place that he's kept. And Paul is saying, my joy is overflowing. Isn't that amazing to think? How sweet is this, you guys? Imagine for a moment if all of us were arrested for being Christians. Imagine if I snapped my fingers and we immediately woke up and we were in North Korea. You know how long you'd last in North Korea? The most dangerous place on earth to be a Christian. You think Pakistan was bad? You think Saudi Arabia was bad? Oh, you could live a couple months there. Oh, North Korea, they'll make sure you live longer than a couple months. They make sure that you live the rest of your life in sewage. They're cutting the tongues off of Christians and searing the tips of those cut-off tongues with hot, red-hot irons. And how can a person rejoice? It is impossible unless you're possessed by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Unless you understand, wait a minute, this isn't all there is. In fact, I want to give you something about this. You say, well, man, that's quite a bit of faith. Get your pen ready. I skipped this part up front. Let me go back to this, I think, now. Write this down if you would. Write small, because I'm going to give you a lot of verses. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance. The word is assurance. The word means confidence. The word means reality of things hoped for. Listen carefully. The evidence or proof of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Church, listen carefully. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Let me tell you what it does not mean, because you need to hear this. It doesn't mean if you just have enough faith, it will be. If you just have enough faith, it will be. You create it. Didn't God create all that there is with his mouth? You do it now. You do it. Listen, I'm telling you something right now that's sweeping through the church. Not this church. If I find this doctrine in this church, I'm going to grab the guy and run him right out into the street. I'm not joking. When you say things like this, oh man, you just need to have faith and faith, man. Faith and faith. Yeah, just have faith and faith. You speak it. And if you speak it, you'll never be sick again. If you speak it in faith, you'll never be poor. Look, some of us have been around for a long time. We remember this in the 70s. You know what? If you have enough faith, you'll see gold dust coming down. You laugh. I'm telling you what they're saying. The gold dust will settle on your shoulders and on your head, and you'll have gold dust on you. You know what? Enemies of Christianity look at that and say, those people are idiots. I agree. That's insane. Now listen to what the Bible says. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. What are we talking about? In the Hebrews chapter 11, 17 times the word by faith happens. And I'll give you just a few of them. Faith. Listen, faith in God, not faith in faith. Every one of us, don't raise your hand right now when I ask this question, because I'm going to warn you, I love you, but if you raise your hand, you'll never get out of this building alive, because there'll be Christians, they'll witness to you to death. If you're an atheist today, if you do not believe in God, don't raise your hand. But if you're here today and you do not believe in God, and you say faith is silly, say, I want you to know something. Just keep your hand down, because there'll be, if you raise your hand, people will love on you and you will never get out of here alive. But here's the deal. I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. That faith's silly. Really? Then what did you exercise when you grabbed the keys to your car this morning and walked out to your car and stuck the keys in the ignition? You exercised faith. You know when you clicked your seatbelt? You exercised faith. You get in an airplane? You're exercising faith. Well, I'm an atheist. I don't care what you say you are. You exercise faith every day. You put faith in all kinds of things. Here's the deal. When it comes to eternal life, when it comes to meaning, when it comes to reality, you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ. He's the object of faith. By faith, trust God, lean on him. Listen to this. We'll do it quickly. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. What does that mean? Simply this: when God spoke the universe and all that is material into the universe, God did it using nothing.
You mean he used like invisible stuff, right?
No, nothing. The Bible says God created all that there is from nothing.
I love that.
Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out and to unto the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And here's the best part of that verse. And he went out not knowing where he was going. How do you go somewhere when you don't know where you're going? I mean, us guys do that all the time. We kind of like that, but God told Abraham, get up and go. One step, move. Now, just go, follow me, and I'll tell you the rest of the story. Just get up and go. And did you know that as he went, he had no GPS on that camel. He didn't have Waze on that camel. He didn't punch the app and it said, okay, you're going to go from Ur, and you're going to go over here. You're going to, none of that stuff. Every bit along the way. What next, God? Okay, now turn left, Abraham. Oh, and then what? He had to get to the place. Listen, he had to get to the place until God told him the next step. See, some of us, because we don't have faith, some of us, oh, God, I'll follow you anywhere. Just show it all in Technicolor, lay it out in a map, and don't change any part of it. I just need to see it really, really clear. And then I'll follow you. And God says, oh, I'm not going to do it your way. You're going to do it my way. We're not going to do it at all. By faith. The Bible says that by faith, Hebrews 11:21, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. He spoke prophetically over these boys, and he did it by faith. Hebrews 11:24, by faith Moses, listen to this, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. We have no idea what Moses was saying goodbye to. Moses, by faith, said to his adopted mother, who raised him up, I'm not Egyptian, I'm Jewish, and I'm leaving. All that he knew by faith. That's huge.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Faith on Fire, Part 3. Thanks for listening, and you know, our Father in heaven will never forget the faith that you acted upon while here on this earth. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Did you know that there are tons of videos and content available via the Real Life app? Just go to your app store and get the Real Life app and check out the TV broadcasts, the Real Radio daily audio broadcasts, the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. It's a place that you'll be encouraged and take advantage of the tools and resources available as you grow in your relationship with God. And also, did you know this ministry is 100% backed by you, the listeners? And now you can donate via the app if you'd like. Check that out as a real easy way to support this ministry. Tons of resources right there at your fingertips. Go to your app store and download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. By the way, did you know that Pastor Jack has over 500 videos on YouTube? Lots of content available for you. Simply go to youtube.com and search Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Maybe you can watch a message or two that you might have missed. Anything that Pastor Jack wants to share with us is available right there for you on YouTube.
Hey everybody, want to make sure that you are aware of a tremendous book. I've got to tell you, before I give you the title, I want to set you up. It's alongside my nightstand, and when it's not there, it's in my book bag alongside my favorite chair, and it's the book by Paul Benware. It is entitled Understanding End Times Bible Prophecy. It's an incredible book. You're going to want to have it. I've got it all the time with me, within reach, as it covers exhaustively the things of God from a prophetic nature. You'll love it.
Understanding End Times Prophecy by Paul N. Benware is yours for a gift of any amount, and it's available at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.